You're listening to the USEA official podcast, which takes you behind the scenes of eventing, covering all the big events, professional tips and tricks, interviews, special guests, and the latest USEA eventing news. Welcome to the USCA, episode 271. Our last show, listeners, was the Tryon preview show, and we will actually be touching upon that a little bit on this show as well. But it is primarily a Thanksgiving special for you, because as the week that this show goes out, it is Thanksgiving in the US, and we will be talking to a few people who have various different walks of life within the sport of eventing about things that they are thankful for. But I will start by welcoming our very own Rob Burke. Rob, how is everything with you?
I'm doing well. I'm, enjoying the brisk, cold fall temperatures out here in the Mid-Atlantic, but otherwise, I'm good.
It's pretty chilly in the UK too, actually. I think we're going to get our first frost of the autumn or the fall tonight. So yeah, pretty cool. How did your podium do at Tryon?
Are you trying to rub it in, Nicole?
No, I actually can't remember. My memory, too much credit.
Well, I thoroughly jinxed poor Liz and Dinero Z to knock down the last rail, and I jinxed Doug to keep him out of the final podium standings. I will say I had Stella Artois and Jenny as one of the pairs to watch, so I at least got that one right and didn't jinx them, but thoroughly jinxed everyone else. It was pretty good.
To be honest, Rob, if you're jinxing them into a top 10 position, it could be worse.
That's true.
Could be worse. I had, I think I had obviously Boyd and Setzeleg on my podium. I didn't have them down to win. I think I had them down to be second. And Liz Halliday-Sharp, who of course dropped down a couple of places, but it was brilliant. And we are going to talk to a couple of our guests about their experience in Tryon this week, because we have got quite the lineup for you today, listeners. I'm going to start by welcoming a lady who I imagine is on a real high. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Christine Turner, who is an event horse owner, massive supporter of the sport, and the very proud owner of Setzeleg, who is the new 4-star champion. So, Christine, thank you for coming on the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
An amazing weekend. Setzeleg, Thomas as he's known at home, Sexy Legs as he's often referred to. How was it? Because it's the dream, isn't it, to win a big one like that?
You know, Thomas is, as Rob knows and Jenny knows, I've always been there, you know, hoping he'd do well. He's just that special horse to me. And it is a high. It is amazing that other people can now appreciate him along with me. And it's amazing. What else can you say? But you know, you're just taken back when you get that special horse, and you know, he just keeps getting better and better. Boyd has something to do with it, but you know,
he's all right. Yeah,
all Thomas. Yeah, it's all Thomas.
You're so humble as well, because when we were chatting before we started recording this show, you said, oh, it was such a shock. And actually, I mean, he rise as one of the top favourites going into the weekend. He's the Pan American Games gold medalist. He's been runner-up at Kentucky, which, you know, it brings with it a certain amount of pressure as well, doesn't it?
It's been a hard year. Boyd's been off a lot, and Thomas hasn't really had a good run this year. And they took him to Chad, and then they couldn't run. So, and that was an intermediate run. So it was kind of touch and go as to whether, you know, what was going to happen with all of the mud. So I just, you know, I show up, I don't even think about anything. I'm just happy to be out of, you know, my house because of COVID. And so thankful Tryon was going on and I could be there. And what a great weekend. I mean, you know, masks and all. A lot of people I didn't recognize until, you know, right up two of them. But, you know, how wonderful was it that everybody could pull it together, you know, and get it so that we'd had a championship. That's just a really special thing.
Yeah, it was a real treat and such top-class competition as well. I'm absolutely certain that we've seen some combinations that will be making a real impact in 2021. Can I just ask you, what got you involved in owning event horses in the first place? What drew you to the sport?
Well, okay, you really want to know the truth, because
yes,
If I do it, anybody can do it. Okay. I was actually a Western Pleasure rider just for my own pleasure. And my husband bought me an eventing farm just so I had somewhere to ride my one Arabian horse. And my daughter wanted to ride English, and we bought her a Tercaner. And that's how it all started. I didn't even know what eventing was 10 years ago.
That's amazing. And now the only, you know, the way is up. There is so much more in store for you. And I have to admit, one of the things that I loved about Set Selleg's win this last weekend was the fact that he is US bred as well by the wonderful sire Windfall. So brilliant experience for you. And we cannot wait to see where he goes. Obviously, we hope we know where he goes in 2021. And I'm secretly hopeful, Christine, that in 2022, we might at some point see him on British soil. But no pressure. I'm just putting it out there that I personally, from a selfish point of view. Let's continue on, because another lady who had a superb weekend in Tryon is Jenny Branigan. Three horses, Jenny, in the top 20. That is a pretty good week's work.
Oh, thank you. I was very happy with how it all ended up. As you know, it could have gone either way.
Tell us a little bit about Stella Artois. Rob's already alluded to the fact, definitely on his radar going into the event, but a sub 30 dressage, and then really just a couple of time faults in the cross country, 5 seconds over the time, and the time was fairly tough. Nothing to add in the show jumping, moved up to seventh, but a super result.
Oh, thank you. She's a lovely mare. That's actually the fourth four-star long she's completed. So we were supposed to head to Kentucky this spring, and unfortunately everyone's plans got derailed this year. So it was really great to be able to do something at Tryon. And obviously I know we're all kind of wondering if Tokyo is going to happen or not. And Eric Duvander's been awesome at keeping everyone so motivated that it was great to be able to go out and show that the hard work's been paying off.
She's just a 12-year-old. Would the plan be, obviously, COVID allowing, Kentucky 2021?
Yes. Yeah. She was planning to go to Kentucky this spring. So we would hope for that.
That would be brilliant. We would love to see her there. What about your other two? Because you were 16th with FE Lifestyle, and then Twilight's Last Gleam, another one of our ones to watch from the preview show, inside the top 20 as well. All of them had performances. There was a huge amount to like from each of them this weekend. Very exciting for the future.
Yes, I'm very excited for the future. Twilight's Last Gleam actually won the whole Camp Turner grant as a 7-year-old to go to Lyon, and unfortunately had an injury that derailed him. And I know the Gardeners were really upset about that, because he is American bred. He's actually he's not really an off the track thoroughbred, because he behaves so badly in the shed row. He never made it onto the track, but he's actually thoroughbred. And then I've had him since he was a 4-year-old, and, you know, gone up the way with him, which has been really rewarding. And he's always been a little bit of a quirky horse. Actually, all three of the horses I rode that weekend are quite quirky. So it's nice to have the time, you know, just having the three at the event to be able to put in what you need to get the right results. And the FE Lifestyle horse is one that I know, like Boyd, who I ride with cross country, and Eric obviously rates a lot as well. And I think that's probably an extremely special horse for the future. And those were both of their first 4-star long starts. So I thought that was a pretty good opening point. So hopefully we can keep building on that. I thought the FE Lifestyle horse, it was a bummer that he had the last rail in the show jumping. But I thought he jumped really well. And Twilight's Last Gleam is just, I think, ran out of gas a little bit at the end of the show jumping. So, but I was just thrilled with them because they're both 10 years old. And I think the future is hopefully bright for each of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Will they stick for another long format 4-star in the spring next year?
I would actually run FE Lifestyle at Kentucky next spring if it happens. Okay. I actually think he's one of the best probably the best cross country horse I have. And which is funny because he's the one I did have my accident on, but that I smashed my face last year on. But he's actually just a brilliant cross country horse. And the way he handled that, I really do have confidence in him that I could take him to Kentucky next spring and it wouldn't overface him. Now, obviously, I would need to talk to Eric and Boyd about that. but I do think I would aim him at that. I think the Twilight's Last Gleam horse is just, as I mentioned, he had an injury and came back from that, and we're just really getting the strength back on him. And I think he could use another 4-star long run. I think that would be the right thing to do for his future. So fingers crossed I'd have my two Germans at Kentucky in the spring if that happens.
Oh, we would love it. It was a brilliant weekend in Tryon, and I'm going to talk to our next guest now, who I'm really excited to find out a little bit more about, Deontay Sewell, who is a working pupil at Philip Dutton's, who, of course, had a super weekend with a second place finish with Z as well. But Deontay, thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're welcome. It's pretty pleasurable to be on here.
We're looking forward to hearing a little bit more about your journey. Tell us about how you started getting involved, firstly, I guess, with riding and then eventing before, obviously, the journey to Philip.
So growing up as a kid, my grandfather was always into horses, but he didn't really have anyone that was willing to take interest besides me. You know, he like tried to get my mom into it, but she was like, no. So I got into it from my grandfather. You know, he was the one that pushed me to like give it a try.
And how did it come to eventing? So am I right in thinking you started Western?
Yeah, I always kind of had a thing for eventing. When we would go trail riding out in Fairhill and I'd see all the like cross country jumps, I didn't understand what it was. I just would see that they were like these big tables. And, you know, like when I was really getting into the whole like riding scene, I was doing more barrel racing and like pole bending and more of the like Western gaming stuff. So I didn't really understand the jumping. The only jumping I really knew was the whole Hunter jumper circuit, until I met an older couple that rode at the barn that I grew up riding at. They kind of already knew about the eventing scene, and they invited me to come to the Fair International with them. And then I seen everyone jumping over the jumps out there that I would trail ride by. And that was when I was like, that's what I want to do. I don't want to run barrels. This is not fun. So that's when I like found what I wanted, and I just kind of worked towards getting there.
So how did you end up at Philip's?
Yeah, it is. It's already, so much has already kind of opened up to me. And I feel that I've only been here for 2 months, and I feel I've improved a bit of my riding and stuff. But I got here through a friend. Had Caitlin Colder had reached out to me asking, you know, like, what am I looking to do as far as like work wise? Because at the time I was working for Chris Bernard and Justine Dutton. And, you know, she's no longer eventing, so she's more show jumping, but I still had my heart like set on going for a 4-star eventually in the future and stuff. And she had like reached out and asked like, if a job at Phillips opened up, would you be willing to go for it? And at first I was a little nervous, like, I don't know if I'm really like ready to step into his program. And I just kind of inquired about it to his assistant, Ashlyn. And then I decided to just give the interview a try and see what, like, what's the worst that can happen. You know, like if I go and interview and, you know, I'm not ready to be here right now, there's always time in the future, but it just so happened to end up like working out in my favor.
And it's amazing, isn't it? Because obviously Philip's CV is extraordinary in itself, but actually being based at his yard and in his facility and people like Emma Ford and learning the barn side of things as well is extremely valuable.
Yeah, it is amazing. Like there's a lot of things, you know, coming here that I have seen done in the barn, but I didn't really understand or felt like I was doing it correctly. So to be able to have Emma come over and, you know, show me that, like, this is why we do it, this goes this way, you know, it was good for me. And like every day I'm always asking like her different questions, you know, just so that I can still improve. And even when I know I'm confident at doing something, I still always like, you know, go up to Emma and have her double check and see if there's any other way I can do it or what is she suggest doing, you know. And like not only that, like learning from her as far as my horsemanship goes, it's like, it's an honor, like pretty cool.
It absolutely is amazing, and it is huge, huge credit to you. And I'm sure you will take the opportunity with both hands. We're actually going to do a show at some point, I think, in the new year on working students and in being involved in different barns and the benefits that it can bring. But let's talk Thanksgiving, because big week. It's a holiday I'm so jealous of because we don't celebrate it in the UK. So this is a real treat for me. things that we're thankful for. I think that actually in 2020, it is more important than ever to be kind of taking stock of the things that we are thankful for. Things have been so different, so unsettled, I'm sure, for everybody. And things are still heading into 2021. So it's a nice opportunity for us to kind of look back on the things that have gone to plan this year and that we are very, very thankful for this year. So Rob, I'm going to start with you and ask you, what are you thankful for in 2020?
Yeah, I think, like you said, Nicole, there's about a, I think I could be thankful for a million things, which is funny to say with such a horrid year. But, you know, I'd start with our members, and among the members, I'd say the members of the U.S. Eventing Association, but also our organizers, because, you know, despite the shutdown, you know, during the worst of the pandemic, early on in the worst of the pandemic, the organizers came out full guns a-blazing and were able to like bring back the sport in a really safe way. And the our members, the competitors were able to come back and kind of just deal with the new normal and run. And then just as a personal note, I'll throw in there that, you know, despite all the trials and tribulations we're going with, for a lot of us, it's actually given us a lot more time to, you know, actually spend time with our family. And in my case, that's a really good thing. So, I mean, I've loved kind of getting to know my kids even better than I knew before. And I'm sure they're kind of sick of their dad, but it's been really good, positive time for us.
It's amazing, isn't it? Because actually it has been so valuable in so many ways. And we all get very caught up in the go, go, go lifestyle. But actually when you are forced to kind of take a step back and things aren't as they usually would be, it can actually be really valuable as well. The kind of the members and everybody pulling together has absolutely astounded me, because it is such a huge community. And when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And that is true testament to all of the USEA members, the officials, competitors, everybody who has played their part. Christine, how about you? What are you thankful for this year?
I'm pretty much thankful for a lot. I mean, like Rob said, we were able to tune down a little bit. Boyd was able to go in and get some repairs done on himself, which was good. I don't think he would have been quite up to par, you know, had we had 2020 Olympics and they would have gone, I don't think it would have gone well, you know, for him. In fact, he just had another surgery yesterday. I don't know whether anybody knew that, but, or the other day, right after we got back. But I'm thankful, you know, I'm thankful for all the friends I've met, you know, in eventing. What a different life it's been. And Jenny, you know that, and Rob, you know that. But you know, we've had some great friendships, and it's really a nice thing.
I was going to say that I think at this point Boyd is like the $1 million man. He's going to like when he moves, he's going to start making like sounds every time he steps. And I think Deontay over there, Phillips and Jenny in the vicinity, they're going to hear Boyd coming.
You're probably nice,
poor Boydie.
He is amazing. But it's incredible what you can sort of compete with and the sacrifices that you make, because I'm sure it is not straightforward. And in a way, as you say, the opportunities have come this year in order to get a few things ironed out that they perhaps wouldn't have done. Jenny, how about yourself?
Well, I'm very thankful that I was able to keep making a living this year. I know there's a lot of people that weren't able to do that. And I feel really grateful that my owners stood behind me and supported me, and we were able to keep going. And I'm grateful that all my top horses stayed sound this year and ended up the year strong, and that I could do a good job for my owners, because I love them and they're family to me and I want to make them proud. And I'm just grateful and thankful for that opportunity.
Yeah, and it is an incredible team effort, because there have been hard times for a lot of people this year, and I'm sure there will continue to be hard times. But it is really right that we take a moment to kind of reflect on the positives that have come from it. Deontay, how about yourself?
I'm pretty much thankful for a lot of things this year, you know, but I'm like pretty thankful for a lot of like the support system that I have backing me up right now. I'm thankful for like a lot of the people that's kind of been there pushing me to keep going. It is kind of like intimidating. It's funny because like one of the people that actually pushed me was Ginny. Like I knew Ginny, like met Ginny a couple years ago through a mutual friend, and I was offered a job to go work for Ryan and Sarah Murphy, and I was nervous about going because I was like, no. And she actually sat me down and was like, what is your goals? What do you want to do? And like I told her I'd want it, and she was like, you need to go and go for it. Like, don't be scared. So it was pretty much like, I'm really, really thankful for her having that talk, because it still plays in my head on days that I'm kind of like, this isn't for me, you know. But the biggest thing, I'm thankful for the support system.
Yeah, and I think this year the support system has come to the fore. And actually, one of the things that I've really felt this year is friendships. It's very easy to take them for granted, and it's very easy to kind of presume that everybody's going to be there or that you'll see people and everything else. And actually, all of a sudden, when you don't start seeing these people, you don't necessarily message about something that's just happened because it hasn't happened. Actually, the way of pulling together and picking up the phone and talking to friends on the phone more than I've ever talked to them on the phone before. Perhaps before it would have been very easy to drop a text or, you know, see them in passing. And actually now it sort of pushed me to pick up the phone and have real life conversations. And that's something that I really hope that I'll be able to take through when life gets back to some sort of normality in the future. And I'm also thankful, if I'm honest, that I was recording this show tonight because my toddler wouldn't go to sleep and my husband has to deal with it. So yeah, I'll just hang out in the office for a bit. I was like, I'm really sorry. I've got to go. But it is so important. I think the overriding message from everybody is community. It is people pulling together and amazing things can be achieved. And Rob, actually, that's one of the things I also wanted to mention is I'm thankful for people who have really got behind and driven the Frangible Technology Fund, and obviously John Holling's been hugely involved in it. But the progress that made in a couple of weeks for the sport in March that were tough is just remarkable.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's that's a really good one. We're now actually speaking of, you know, Deontay mentions Sarah Murphy, who next to Jenny are some of my favorite people, whether they realize it or not. And Sarah posted just this past week that she triggered a Frangible at Tryon, and how she felt that it really saved her when it happened. And I'd say that that was one of the jumps that came through the grant program that people have been donating to since March. And you know, when John Holling stepped up and said, you know, he called me and said, you know, I kind of have this crazy idea. Can we just raise $500,000? And I think we're all like, sure. Yeah, we can try. And to be able to say that we are literally only about $50,000 from reaching that goal through the pandemic is just, I mean, literally we're about to hit a mark where we're at $400,000, which means we need 50 more, and then that triggers a match to get us to $500,000, is pretty amazing. We've put out there's like 100, and I think the last time I looked at the number, it was about 150 new fences built across the United States, and by next year we'll be in the mid 200s. So that's just, I mean, spectacular. I like you said, pretty amazing.
Happen when everybody pulls together, and that is one thing that really has happened in 2020. Everybody has pulled together, and hopefully will continue to do so. I'm sure the challenging times there will still be there, but it can be done, and the sport as we know it and we love it can continue on and thrive as well. Just quickly before we go, Rob, I just wanted to ask you, because it is the USEA virtual convention in 2020 coming up. We have a preview for you on the podcast next time, but just give us a little insight into what might be in store.
Yep. Yeah. So December 12th, 2 p.m. Eastern, we are going to have our annual meeting of members and a keynote address. And I would we are actively trying to sort out that keynote, but it's going to be an exciting one. I don't want to give it away yet because I want to solidify our speakers before I do that. But yeah, we encourage everybody to attend. It'll be a pretty cool afternoon. And before we go to, I have at least one more big thankful thing that and that's our horses. Cause I mean, for me personally, and I bet for everybody else on the line, that even through the trials and tribulations of this past year, the fact that I could go out and, in our case, go and go for a walk with Tat and Winter, our legendary retiree who my daughter gets to ride, go out and kind of de-stress with old Fatty Tatty, that was pretty special. So I'm betting everybody else feels the same way.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very well said. And listeners, I have had a sneaky little bit of inside knowledge about who could be on the lineup for the keynote panel. And let me tell you, you will not want to miss it. So stay tuned. But a big thank you to all of you, to Deontay, to Christine, and to Jenny. Rob, it has been an absolute pleasure. So a big, big thank you. And stay safe. Enjoy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Thank you. You too.
Happy Thanksgiving, Nicole.
Thank you. I will be living vicariously through you all because I'm so jealous. I will start a campaign in my household to bring Thanksgiving to the UK. But a big thank you to all of our guests, listeners. We hope you've enjoyed it. We hope you have a very, very happy Thanksgiving, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to the USEA official podcast. If you have any suggestions or feedback, then we would love to hear from you. Get in touch through any of our social media platforms at US Eventing, and don't forget to subscribe on your preferred podcast platform to make sure you don't miss an episode.